I never knew death until I saw the bombing of a refugee camp. Craters filled with disfigured elbows and splattered torsos, but no sign of a face. The only impression, a fading scream. I never understood pain until a 7-year-old girl clutched my hand, stared up at me with soft brown eyes waiting for answers. And I didn't have any. I had dry pens in my back pocket that couldn't fill pages of understanding or resolution. In her other hand, she held the key to her grandmother's house. But I couldn't unlock the cell that Cage trolled her brothers. They said, we slingshot dreams so the other side will feel our father's presence. A craftsman. Built homes in areas where no one was building, and when he fell, he was silent. A 50-caliber bullet tore through his neck, shredding his vocal cords. Too close to the wall. His hammer must have been a weapon. He must have been a weapon. Encroaching on settlement hills and demographics, so his daughter studies mathematics. 7 explosions times 8 bodies equals 4 congressional resolutions. 7 Apache helicopters times 8 Palestinian villages equals silence in a second Nakba. Our birth rate minus 3rd birth rate equals 1 C and 400 villages re-erected. 1 state plus 2 peoples, and she can't stop crying. Never knew revolution or the proper equation. Tears at the pages with her fingertips, searching for answers but only has teachers. Looks to the sky and sees stars of David demolishing squalor with hellfire missiles. She thinks back words and memories of his last hug before he turned and fell. Now she pumps dirty water from wells while settlements divide and conquer, and her father's killer sits beachfront with European vernacular. She thinks back words while they think back words of obscene notions and indigenous confusion. This is our land, she said. She's 7 years old. This is our land, she said. And she doesn't need history books or a schoolroom teacher. She has these walls, this guy, her refugee camp. She doesn't know the proper equation, but she sees my dry pens, no longer waiting for my answers, just holding her grandmother's key, searching for ink. I was born overseas, a refugee, with little knowledge of myself or my ancestry. Growing up in American society, you conform to the mentality. I watched MTV, envied actors and people who drove Mercedes. I didn't listen to Public Enemy or read Noam Chomsky, comprehend the need for autonomy. I was a dark kid trying to be a white kid, acting like a black kid in my middle class economy. But my mom didn't speak this language perfectly, and I was reminded with certainty. My name wasn't Ali or Punjabi MC, not Khalid Rashid or anyone from Aladdin's family. I was just me. But who was me, I asked the question quietly. As my relatives suffered unjustly, fighting oppression in Mideast countries, what is Palestinian identity? What was preventing me from seeing what others pointed out so easily? It's scary not having autonomy, the only one with a permanent tan on the baseball team, but it's funny being seen, I know, I look like that terrorist in that movie. Yeah, the biggest nose in 3 counties, but I think I figured it out eventually. I'm a Palestinian American, standing proudly on 1 foot on democracy and the other seeking autonomy, while the media tries to rewrite my people's history. I'll always be me, with my roots planted firmly, American with Palestinian ancestry, planting seeds for hybrid ideology and lands of productivity. You see, these schemes aren't just a dream. It's what I say, know, and mean. And one day the truth will be seen, with transparency. So I step forward, a part of the team, the true essence of what I believe to be American-Palestinian identity. I don't want to coexist, not like good guys and bad guys and true lies and propaganda, put on black faces, cab drivers, your deli owners and your racist comedies, not bomb your Dunkin' Donuts with my keffiyeh, fist pound Fox News, or let you steal my food and call it Israeli salad. I won't mess with a Zohan, or let them turn the rocks of Palestinian children into balloon animals. While Israeli soldiers snipe our children's heads, shoulders, knees, and stomachs, Hollywood snipes ears of young ones with lovable tails and blue and white heroes. I'm not looking for your approval, not a token role or job on my knees scrubbing toilets in Israel's Congress. I'd rather fight with blacks and Latinos against oppression than concede to a mainstream plantation that sees me as other unless I'm checking a college application. I don't believe in the tooth fairy or 2,000 claims of homes you supposedly deserved when people resurrected and walked on water. All exist in a world that fights against racism like Martin and Malcolm, bleeds ghetto tales of Stephen Biko as a song that never dies, no matter what apartheid makes of our bodies, feeds mouths in Belfast streets, and resurrects Bobby Sands' message so that we'll never be hungry again. And whether you know it or not, I'm the best solution you have. One man asking for one vote, telling you to look at the sea, and I'll never drive you into it. I'll never return the favor. I'm not outstretching an olive branch and a rifle. I'm extending reality, because being surrounded by so-called enemies on your borders is easier than in your towns and election centers. We may not be brothers, but this neighborhood has made us cousins. I don't want to coexist. I want to exist as a human being, and justice will take care of the rest. Iraq has a $79 billion surplus. We've spent more than $1 trillion on this war. More than 4,000 our troops have died. God knows how many are coming back limbless. Others with post-traumatic stress disorder. This is not making us safer. This is not within our interests. This is what he says to me. An Arab American. An American Arab. An American who happens to be Arab. I look back at him. I'm not some mainstream CNN producer. And three Iraqis have died since our conversation started. I'm not an American. I'm a human being. I don't write poems about Kevlar vests or USO tours. And don't get me wrong, I support the troops. The ones in Iraq, Palestine, Afghanistan, Northern Ireland, South Africa, and Birmingham. And not all their bullets fit in guns. They've written poetry and music and literature an oppressor could never dream of. I do. I feel bad that I can't afford my second iPhone, but I've yet to hear you utter that more than 1 million Iraqis have been slaughtered in this war, that their $79 billion surplus can't get them electricity or stability, that the surge has failed. Baghdad has been cleansed of Sunnis, and more than 5 million have been made refugees. I'm sorry that you can't afford your cross-country road trip because gas costs too much money, and the US dollar can't get you past going monopoly. We wrap ourselves around 50 stars and lapel pins while civilians in occupied nations die because of our policy. And if that makes me anti-American, hood me, rip me from my home, and waterboard me in a Guantanamo prison. I'm not looking for the American dream or your silly notion of exceptionalism. You think because you love a country, it excuses jingoism. Your so-called rights and interests matter more than the countless deaths of others. And you know what? I'm not going to call you a sellout or Arab Uncle Tom. I'm going to call you what you are, a shitty human being, one that chides the rights, invokes civil movements, all while taking step backwards. Yes. Iraq has cost us $1 trillion, but there's no currency to replace your thirst for hegemony. I'm not an American. I'm a human being. And if that's so hard for you to stomach, maybe you should grab a plane ticket with your frequent flyer miles and move the hell out of my country. Every time I think of 9/11, I see burning flesh dripping off the bones of Iraqi children in Fallujah. Now Gaza. I tend to memorialize the forgotten, the eclipsing collateral damage of our unpunished crimes. And maybe it's because I'm a numbers guy. Because if I had a dollar for every time an Iraqi died since 2003, I'd be a millionaire. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I don't know who to hate more. The governments in the West or the politicians in the East who sell their souls quicker than the oil they export. Strong men who use Palestine as a tool to line their pockets and don't give a nickel to their people. Quisling governments who stitch mouths shut for a check from Washington and APEC. How can you be their prototypical anti-Semite if you're signing peace accords to oppress your own people? And then Orientalists and idiots want to talk about how we can't have democracy in the Middle East because of what happened in Gaza. A Hamas boogeyman wrapped in democratic elections. Rahm Emanuel wants to educate me and my people about democracy gone wrong. Why doesn't he try implementing one in Israel first instead of bowing down to terrorists like his father in the IDF, lauding a third-rate racist European society that's imploding quicker than its moral standing in the world, enlightened like 1950s Afrikaners and slave traders? Just because a house is beautiful doesn't mean the bones you built it on have fully decomposed. The Israeli left is about as alive as Ariel Sharon. I'm sick and tired of asking for permission to resist from antiquated leftists and progressives who care more about keeping it kosher than moving things forward. I put down my pen and waving fists to resist with college kids and Palestinians. Boycott and divest because honestly, who cares about preserving a living when governments are killing civilians? Complicity by silence and reserve units bombing Gaza. Your academics and scholars, theater groups, and practitioners are part of the problem. And if that doesn't neatly fit into your long-term plan of rejecting my right to return, I'm sorry, bud. Maybe one day you return to reality, where my people have babies quicker than Zionists can concoct Jordanian options. I'm not looking for your sympathy or your introspective confessions. Won't sit on my hands till they lose oxygen like the people of Bilan and Rafah. Vote for Barack Obama and pretend that his 22 days of silence was golden, while emaciated children starve to death surrounded by their parents' corpses. This can't be America the Beautiful. A criminal with a few positive attributes doesn't alleviate genocide. Bombing Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iraq doesn't make you historic. It makes you as blind and bloodthirsty as the white men that came before you. Apathetic hipsters, now excited about a president who broke history but not poverty, occupation, or corporate interests. I'd rather proudly walk through the graveyards of peace accords and failed dialogue sessions than keep seeing my people just as occupied or third-class citizens. We're the gavel that'll slam down like a verdict. We're not waiting for Israel, America, or the Supreme Court to approve it. We'll boycott Leviath, Caterpillar, and your apartheid companies. We're taking back the right of return and keys to the country because we never asked you to go back to Europe or sit in open-air prisons. I'm not asking for your advice. I'm explaining the decision. You can stay here with us, but only as equals. It's not that you're Israeli. It's that you're wrong. That's why I fight for my people. I didn't grow up in a refugee camp. I grew up here, comfortable, able not to know or care, choose my own blood type, close the book, turn off the TV, forget the stories. A gay man once asked me, "Why do you give a damn about Palestine?" "Why not?" I replied. "Why did men and women clench fists and fight back at the Stonewall, push through Matthew Shepard hate crimes legislation in Congress? I care about Palestine for the same reason I can't stomach watching Schindler's List. Still can't comprehend why kids in my neighborhood picked on Michael Paul for being Jewish. Was 10 years old the first time someone called me a sand nigger. And I don't hate the town I grew up in, but I don't forget those experiences either. The way white women on the block talked down on my brown mother. Don't forget the stories. Pretend it didn't happen. Don't feel the need to dream up an alternative American childhood as if its vision was ever intended to include me. People fight back because they identify. People fight back because they identify. My grandmother still fills tear ducts with longing memories of Yaffa, a home we in America take for granted. I don't ask anyone to forget about the Holocaust or feel as Jewish because they grew up on Long Island. Not gonna have someone tell me where my loyalties lie, because my physical environment should define who I am. Remembrance is part of action. Never again applies to many peoples. I'm a product of America, but no less Palestinian. Palestine being that fight for freedom and justice. Not just low valleys, beautiful sunsets, and fig trees. Not just my grandparents' house in Yaffa that's still standing. Not just a place I nervously visited, can barely catch a cab in Arabic, yet welcomed like they were expecting my return. Home, in the realest sense, I'm Palestinian. I was born in America. That is who I am. They say I'm one of the good ones. You can't tell by my skin color, but it's inherent in my breath. Heart soft, temper mellow, enlightened from fingertips to welcoming smile. And yet I don't have enough ink, don't have enough minutes, years, or lifetimes to write down all their names written in red on the wall, slaughtered. If I hear one more jackass ask my religion and think that one or the other would define and shape my worldview, I'm gonna flood their people, kill their firstborn, burn some witches, and have them drink at a separate water fountain, because I'm a real Christian, just like you. Turn perverted into pedagogy. This Jewish guy tells me my grandparents were just as oppressed as his grandparents by the Muslims in Palestine. Really? Last time I checked, it was Jewish rifles held against temples that dispossessed Haifa and Yaffa. Irgun and Stern gang bombings that formed an ethnocentric state that didn't recognize Muslims or Christians as equals. Ayan Hirsi Ali wants to talk about dhimmis, but conveniently forgets Palestinian third-class status as the indigenous population. Not gonna have some values preaching house rep tell me what's wrong with all those Muslims. Maybe I'll start listening to him when he stops starving Jesus' poor, aborting black and Latino lives on death row, and overstepping the homeless people on the way into his Whole Foods. And for the so-called high and mighty secularists, just because you don't call it a religion doesn't mean radical capitalism hasn't destroyed this nation. With your grimy bankers and bailouts, liberals didn't mind destroying a country when they thought they could do it on the cheap and plant a Starbucks on every street corner, then blame George Bush when shit hit the fan. Now, I don't know if this is a PSA or a poem, but I was raised Christian and still can't see how that matters. Hear Friday prayers walking to the subway in Brooklyn, visit every corridor in Jerusalem, never knew religion by name but have faith in my people, know that xenophobia is in vogue, and I've never been that cool. But then again, maybe it all emanates from a religiously enlightened worldview that I'm predisposed to based on my Christian roots. But maybe it's more simple. Maybe those that monolithically castigate 1.4 billion people are recalcitrant idiots, the actual ultra evil that they think the other is. The actual ultra evil that's created its own axis in which it fiendishly rules without knowing. I'm disgusted by terrorism. Backwards animals who have no value for human life produce propaganda videos to disseminate their message, prey on the weakest in society, infect children, recruit fighters like expendable ants in their ideological struggle. You know who I'm talking about. Soldiers who drop bunker-busting bombs on mosques and universities, Decry the Middle East, but follow authority closer than dictatorial rule. Think stripes and codes rather than decency and humanity. Give them worth in this world. I've seen one too many Facebook invites by jingoistic kids I went to high school and grade school with. Couldn't wait to get in some trigger time. Hunt down towelheads and hajis like venison. And when some Marines grenade launcher catapulted 120 mini bombs per minute, took out 17 houses and 14 schoolgirls. I'm supposed to feel bad that he can't see his wife and daughter on Christmas. Respect his service when he comes back to the States, a murderer who destroyed a country full of daughters and wives that he'll never see Eid. We're so quick to honor the troops. But don't dare mention the widows. The trembling father crying, immersed in his wife's charred flesh, a fetus blown out of her stomach. The soldier said kicking down the door was too risky. The soldier said kicking down the door was too risky. Where's the love for the 25-year-old Iraqi man whose car was riddled with American-made bullets, pained face and surprised look like grabbing for sky, falling out of 110-story towers? As long as we don't affect our shit, we'll shout out Darfur, Rwanda, and the need for antiretrovirals. Look at people as aid packages who can't compete, rather than ravaged lands perfecting paradigms of imperialism and propaganda. Where's that right-wing Zionist trying to save the Congo, combat Lev Leviev in Angola, genocide in northern Uganda? Where's the humanity before the machetes are raised and proxy forces put into place? King, Mandela, and Gandhi aren't meant to be easily referenced platitudes to make you feel better at night, help you forget that uncomfortable poem Americans don't want to face. We'll worship American idols, but have no value for human life. And yet all I hear are 20-somethings telling me they just aren't into politics. I wonder what they'd say at their parents' eulogy after they were blown up into 386 different pieces. I'm sure they wouldn't discuss things, because politics, it isn't their thing. Politics isn't our thing. While we reach out for freedom and justice, we're defined as political to undermine our suffering, create notion of equal sides, create notion of two sides and equal conflict, cover up our dispossession and burnt down villages. We're political so you can ignore us, delegitimize and forget us, but we're human beings gracing the window pane, reflecting stillborn images. We're voices chiming in choirs and temples. We're life that won't be forgotten. We're here and won't go away. We're the world's shiver. It's cold out here. And whether you like it or not, we're coming inside. I'm proud to be a Palestinian, but not for reasons that make me believe in jingoistic ideals of patriotism. I don't sign my life away for the birth of a nation, but for the justification of indigenous people to live, free to decide what to make of their lives. Palestine is South Africa, Rwanda, Iraq, the Armenian genocide, and yes, the Holocaust. Because if I lose sight of Jewish suffering, I become nothing but a reflection of the Israeli state, a propagandist driven on hate of the other, placated by ideologies and of exclusivity. I don't just love the colors of some flag, or even the olive trees in the old city. I love what Palestine makes me feel. Anger, pain, and sadness, hope, and perseverance. I love that I wake up every morning knowing that I'm a writer, poet, and dreamer, and watered-down versions of what society and respectability should be won't change my mentality, because it's not a society I want to be a part of. I'm a Palestinian. Nobody can take that away from me. Not identity cards or refugee status or security apparatus is restricting my movement, and I'll come back stronger than any Zionist entity, but not for ethnocentric liberty, but for peace based on equality. I'm Palestinian. What are you? In my mind, I freed Palestine. Envision a dream that just needs to be seen. Olive trees in ecstasy, orange groves that lead to our roads. No blocks filled with cops, no 10-year-old shot. Freedom is what I got. I understand my grandmother's plan to live on her bought and paid for land. And though it isn't in her hands, it remains in her heart. Every time another's killed, we go back to the start. 1948, the date they make us remember, the star and scars of David. And we're the ones who've hated? We've been raped and berated by bullets and forced immigration, squatting and settling, left wrestling with the best Zionism has to offer. And while the U.S. fills its coffers, we're seen as monsters. Our people blow up in pain, black-eyed and half insane. Wouldn't you be if an Israeli bullet penetrated your child's brain? I envision Palestine in my mind with the chosen frozen in time to realize their morality's blind, to take back generations of crime and put an end to apartheid. You don't know how many kids sit and wish they could be labeled other than a terrorist, to exist as a resist reads graffiti in their cities. Give them chalk instead of rocks. They'll use that blackboard if you let them go to school. Give them chalk instead of rocks. Instead, you bulldoze their block, destroy their homes. Palestine is what you call the no-building zone. But you can't bulldoze our minds. Every time we'll rise through the ashes like Cassius Clay, and we'll bob and weave for infinity. There's no divinity in bombing our city, setting up committees to treat us differently. We're from Philistine, the land where dreams are made. There's nothing brave about oppressing. We'll count and multiply our blessings. So remember just one thing. One day the bells of freedom will ring, and you'll see me smiling, loving life in Palestine. I don't know if Palestine just hurts more than it used to. Maybe it was the opening up of other people's coffins, but I hardly think of the kids in Dehesha anymore. Great memories tucked under pillowcases, more nightmares brought by morning, blink images of live fired unarmed protesters, cameras spill out footage of screaming mothers, born, bred, dead in the West Bank, fought like Gandhi, like Martin, but no history book will remember their plight. No one ever told me it would be this hard. Impossible to look away after first glance. I cringe every time someone sends me more photos. Dead babies missing foreheads and frontal lobes. Police lay still, lined up like dominoes. Punctured chests where organs once functioned. Half a face missing in this one. An arm missing in that one. It looks like the bomb beat his little body into the ground. Read reviews of our art, movies, and music. We're so angry, one-sided, never fair and balanced. What about Schindler's List, The Pianist, Life is Beautiful, and every other Oscar-worthy and winning movie? I never looked at Jewish pain as something to conquer, never forgetting that sometimes monsters lived under the skin of German men. We should be more like Gandhi, like Martin, like someone else. Pretentious armchair activists who obsess over Monica Lewinsky and Barack Obama's dog choice. If we all just rose up at once, like first intifadas people in the West forget about. Wannabe feminist peace activists and pluralists, swallow tongues and gouge out eyes, wouldn't live this life for 5 minutes, but are too quick to criticize the way we live it. While a million Iraqi throats are slit, reporters sit in air-conditioned newsrooms praising General Petraeus. Don't dare ask Iraqi clouds what they've witnessed. It's quite a view from the ground outside the green zone. The fallacy put forth is that if we were only better, we would be free today. We should be better than the people that happen to be Jewish, happen to be Israeli, because better is not racial, ethnic, or religious, but situational. So for that, yes, we are better than you. We should be more like Gandhi, like Martin. And you should be more like F.W. de Klerk, like Afrikaners admitting colonialism and white supremacy in South Africa. Funny that we always blame the victims and never ask the needed questions. When's the day gonna come when the Israelis and other colonizers of the world better themselves?